You're listening to the Just Means Less ACC podcast with your hosts, Micah and Nick. Nick, it is 11 o'clock my time currently, midnight Eastern time. What the heck was today?
Oh my God. Today was an absolute, dude, I had fun today just watching college football. At work today, it was fucking hell. Like, that was the worst day of my life at work. But college football just in itself, outside of the ACC too, because I know the ACC was nuts today, but Penn State, Ohio State, Oklahoma, UCF, Texas, Houston, Alabama was down a bit. I mean, my goodness, what a fucking day.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I got to watch all of the noon games this afternoon and then went over. I'm obviously in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Went to Arkansas State today and I spent my time, you know, kind of keeping up with the 3:30 games, but there really wasn't. I mean, obviously, you know, I think Wake fell into that slate, but there wasn't a bunch of, oh my gosh, I have to watch this game at 3:30.
Right.
And then, you know, nighttime rolls around. And I'm like, okay, I'm probably just missing, you know, obviously I'm going to miss a little bit of the Virginia game and we'll see. Holy crap, I missed a ton.
Yeah, today was very, very, very nuts. Like right now I'm watching Arizona State, Washington, and Michael Penix Jr. already has two interceptions and it's not even halftime yet and they're losing.
Wait, I didn't realize that game was good. I've been watching FCS football because the Sac State, Montana State, that's a top four matchup in FCS playoffs. That's on ESPNU or 2 or something. So I was watching that. I didn't realize. I genuinely just assumed it wasn't going to be close, I guess.
Yeah, they're down 7-0 right now, and Penix isn't having a good start at the moment. So, yeah.
That is crazy.
But, no, just an unreal – I mean, just in the ACC, I mean, unreal, fun, very fun games. Across the board when, you know, we talked about it on Monday night or Tuesday night, whenever we recorded, saying that this was probably the most boring slate of the season. Like there wasn't a lot of exciting matchups. Duke, Florida State kind of, you know, didn't feel like it was going to be as close as it would be. It was a very exciting week of ACC football.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where do we go from start to finish? Do we go? I said we used to go from start to finish because, Nick, I wanna do my victory dance on Georgia Tech again, but I don't want to do it for too long because I genuinely feel bad for them because it felt like it was different, man. We thought that Georgia Tech was different, and before I go on the Georgia Tech rant of this, Castellanos is freaking good. That kid is dynamic as heck. Like, they got a dude there in Chestnut Hill for sure. But, I mean, if Haynes King doesn't poop all over himself, football game. Like, I got to watch all of this game. This was – I had a weird setup in my hotel where my hotel room had either – Arkansas and Mississippi State or Ohio State, Penn State on the TV. And then my phone had whichever one of those was like either at halftime or just, you know, less intriguing in the moment. And then my laptop always had Georgia Tech on. And to say that I was disappointed in what I saw is, what's the word I'm looking for? A understatement. Because, I mean, it really felt like Georgia Tech had so many opportunities to win this football game, maybe not run away with it, but to have control, and they just didn't want to take it. And I mean, Nick, it kind of stinks now because, like, obviously, you know, like looking at what I saw today, like I'll send the power rankings and we'll probably post them tomorrow. Obviously, I'll send them to you tonight when you're hopefully asleep. But like, I genuinely think I'm going to rank Virginia over Georgia Tech. I genuinely think I'm going to rank them over Wake. Like, Georgia Tech, to me, like, based off what we're seeing, Nick, it kind of feels like Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, and Pitt are the worst teams in this conference. Like, those are actually the bottom three. Not Boston College, not Virginia, not Virginia Tech. Like, I am mind-boggled because, again, like, a couple weeks ago, you would have thought I was crazy saying that.
Yeah.
But that's genuinely what it's feeling like, what it's looking like. I mean, Georgia Tech's best win is that Wake win, right? And that Wake win has very little weight right now. We'll get to Wake in a minute. Like, there's nothing about it to me that goes, oh, and, like, obviously, like, you know, they take down Miami off the failed knee. I get that. I do. But, like, I mean, Georgia Tech is literally – I mean, that Miami game really shouldn't count as a win, if I'm being honest. Like, yeah. Like it's a win, but, like, you didn't win the football game, Georgia Tech. Miami just lost it. So, I mean, no bowl game again. I mean, I'm sorry, Georgia Tech. I'm writing you off. Like, you're done. You're not going to – like, Nick, right now, I don't think they're going to beat Virginia. I don't know if there's another win that's guaranteed on Georgia Tech's schedule the rest of the season. Like, they're not – are you going to favorite them in Charlottesville after what we've seen the last couple weeks? I would say no.
I would say no as well. Like, it's – after, especially after this week, it's really hard to.
Yeah, like – I mean, this was, again, watching this game, I was frustrated for Georgia Tech fans. Like, I felt it. I don't know if you saw Patience's tweet or not today, Nick, where she was like, I just want to be able to come to this stadium or come to this home, whatever the term she used to describe Bobby Dodd, and enjoy myself and be happy. Because, like, think about it. That's where the BG game just happened a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, she's been going to these games hoping for, like, hey, this should be a win. This should be a win. And she's just getting absolutely railed by, like, the heartbreak of this team, the disappointment that is this team. And, like, Georgia Tech fans, like, when she said that, I get it. Like, the amount of times I've gone to Scott Stadium, Nick, you were with me one time this year already. Like, the amount of times I've been to Scott Stadium for a Virginia game and walked away with that same freaking feeling, I get it. I felt that tweet. But my gosh, my goodness. I mean, it just wasn't, like, It's frustrating. It really is, because it feels like Georgia Tech had caught, you know, they catch the break with Miami. They, you know, are trending in a direction where you're like, oh, my goodness, this team might actually, you know, mess around and win. And, like, what stinks for them, if I'm being honest, Nick, is, like, you know, I think – I don't remember, obviously, what we recorded on Monday. I had said that North Carolina is losing a game in the next 2 weeks. I joked. I was like, it would be nice if it was Virginia, but it's probably Georgia Tech, right?
Right.
There, I mean, I hate to say it, Georgia Tech, you're probably not beating North Carolina now. You're probably not. Like, there's no reason why North Carolina is going to just, you know, sleepwalk 2 weeks in a row. Like, they're going to come out pissed, and they're more talented than you. So, I mean... I don't get it. But, Nick, what were your thoughts? Because, like, you know, I am mad at you because I put stock in your, you know, you'd convince me that Haynes King is a dude. And, I mean, I don't want to put all the blame on Haynes King because that is not fair. But Haynes King has definitely not been a contributor in helping them win football games the last couple of weeks.
No, yeah, Haynes King is making me look very bad. He has not had a – he didn't have a great game today. He hasn't had a couple of great games the past few weeks. So, but what I took out of this was Castellanos is just doing enough right now to get this BC team where they want to be. And, Micah, they are 2 wins away from going bowling. They got UConn next week, which should be a win. And you look at the rest of their schedule, they've got Syracuse, Miami, let's see, who else? Virginia Tech, Pitt. Like, there's a win. There's another win somewhere. Like, if they go 0-4 in that stretch of Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Pitt, and Miami, I would be genuinely shocked. Like, that would be a huge disappointment after a 4-game winning streak, assuming that they beat UConn. So... what they have done, what the BC Eagles have done, very quietly. Like, no one's really noticed it, but now we have kind of noticed it because now they have an overall winning record. is impressive. They look really, really good lately. I think Thomas Castellanos is the future of this program, and I hope he stays at BC. I'm tired of, oh, well, this guy's really good at this school. The transfer portal is going to call his name. Like, I'm so sick and tired of that. Like, can't we just enjoy a good player that's leading a, you know, a program that's mm-hmm. trying to find its future? Like, I just want to enjoy that. So let me enjoy Thomas Castellanos and what BC is doing. I think Jeff Hafley's off the hot seat officially, because this was a win we kind of didn't expect after the tough losses that they had at the beginning of the season. And if they go bowling, then it's like, okay, we're all good now. He's off the hot seat. So as for Georgia Tech, man, I tweeted it out after the game ended. It's one step forward, two steps back, and they mm-hmm. have glimpses of, you know, they're moving forward, they're succeeding, everybody looks really good. And then they, you know, like you said, Haynes King poops himself, and they lose to Bowling Green, and it's just not – it's better than it was last year, but, man, this has just got to be very annoying. Like, I think time will tell. I think we'll have a clearer view of what their expectations are next year. But, I mean, there's still a lot of season left. I don't expect them to lose out, but it is quite frustrating watching this Yellow Jackets team.
I'm going to be honest with you, Nick. I don't think Georgia Tech wins another game this year. You say you don't think they're going to lose out. And, I mean, I'm willing to factor that because I don't think this team's going to quit. But, I mean, Syracuse at home is probably their most winnable game left. Virginia on the road, but, like, again, like I mean, I guess Virginia didn't get their first ACC win, so, but I'm determined that Virginia's going to win at least one ACC home game. So, like, obviously the options are Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, and Duke. So I think Georgia Tech is probably the most likable option there. So, I mean, dude, this is just, they're outgained by 100 yards again. Turnover margin. I mean, they give up 563 yards to this Boston College offense. I mean, no disrespect to Boston College, but they should not be putting up 563 yards on a Power 5 team.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I don't want to put all the blame on Haynes King, because, like, it wasn't like Georgia Tech all of a sudden was just, you know, not able to move the football. I mean, they had 200 yards of passing. I mean, they could run the ball pretty well as well. Like, I mean, they were balanced today offensively, so I don't really fault them all that much for that. But, yeah, man, that was just – disappointing. But again, kudos to BC. I mean, they're going bowling. I mean, there's at least two wins left on this schedule.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Super excited for this. So super excited for them in that front. But we move on. We go Pitt and we go Wake. Nick, obviously we were going to record this 15 minutes later, but I kind of spaced that. It's like obviously super late your time and you got to work tomorrow. So if you want to kind of give me a rundown, because I didn't watch any of this game. I mean, I tracked it. I noticed that I thought it was over and Pitt had won when it was 17-14, but then Wake takes the lead late to win the game. I think it was with a minute left or something, or maybe even less than that, like 20 seconds left. So if you want to kind of fill me in, is that, wow, 7 seconds left. That's what it was, because that's right, because I was like, it was 10-7, and then Wake scored. I was like, oh, my gosh, 3 minutes left. Wow, they're going to win this game. And then Pitt scores with a minute 30 left. I'm like, well, that's it. Because, like, you know, Wake's offense had done nothing to make you think they were going to actually do something productive. And then sure enough, you know, they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, so what I want to know, Nick, because you said there was some controversy here, so I want you to get into that. But I'm wondering if my question is going to answer it. How was it only a 48-yard scoring drive to end the game? What happened there? Like, that was what was confusing to me.
The 48-yard for Pitt?
No, the game-winning drive for Wake was only 48 yards.
Oh.
So, caused it to only be 48? Like, it's like, you know, normally when you score like that, like, you kick it off, it's touchback, they got to go 75 to win. It's not 48.
Right. So what had happened was, man, oh, man. Okay. So how did Pitt get the ball back? I forgot how that happened. Anyway, Pitt has the ball. They have the lead. It's 17-14. Pitt is in deep in their own territory. All they have to do is get a first down, and they win the game. So what had happened was it's third down, like 3rd and 7. And Christian Vallejo, who, by the way, had a really good game. I don't know if you saw his stats. Threw over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, which is great for him.
Good for him.
He takes a quarterback draw to the left, and initially it looks like he gets the first down, but he starts to slide. And initially, everyone thinks that, oh, he got it. It's game's over, whatever. The refs called him down before the line came.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. I did see that on Twitter now that I think about it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So from what I was being completely unbiased, because I know I root for Wake, but I was being completely unbiased this whole time. It looked like Pitt got the first down when it happened live.
Yeah. When I watched it on Twitter, I was so confused. He's like, yeah, he started his slide, like obviously not where he ended, but like, I mean, again, based off the camera, like again, we don't know how accurate the ESPN line is. Right. But based off the ESPN line, he started it and he was definitely past the line.
Right.
Or at least at the line.
from all the angles that they showed on TV, everything looked like he was at least a yard and a half past the line when he was sliding. Yeah. Right. So I tweeted out, that's not a good call. Like, Pitt absolutely got screwed right there. This should be game over. And then Pitt was forced to punt, and Wake got the ball at their own like 48 or right at the 50 or something. And Mariucci brings him down to the field and scores a touchdown, throws it to Cameron Hite for a game-winning touchdown with 7 seconds left. Later on, like about an hour later, after I sent that tweet out that Pitt should have won this game, our pal Griffin sent me a picture of when Vallejo starts to slide, and it is clear that he starts to slide at the down or at the line to gain, which
nice.
You know, where you start your slide is when you are down. And unfortunately for Pitt, that's the Kenny Pickett rule, where that happened in the ACC championship against Wake. So that rule came back to bite them in the ass. So unfortunately, I did not, the broadcast did not show that specific replay or picture that Griffin sent me. So that's why I thought, and that's why, you know, Eric McClain on ACC Network on the huddle right after the game ended, he even said game should have been over. He made the line to gain. No one, I think, even Eric, saw that picture or that replay. So it was clear that he was making his slide at the line to gain. So I think it's just very funny that it's the Kenny Pickett rule, and that happened in the ACC championship against Wake. So,
I was going to say, I don't feel bad for Pitt. I really don't. Like, considering, again, the slide play did, like, that ended up becoming a blot, but that slide play in the moment was really the deciding factor of the game. So, it turned the tide. Yeah. So it finished off Wake. But, with that being said, Nick, what do we think about Wake after this? Because I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. Pitt stinks. I don't think they're good. I don't think they're any different than anything we thought a couple weeks ago. Nothing they've done makes you think they're any better or any worse.
And I'm with you on that, yes.
So then what do we say? Because
what I say about Wake is that you'll be happy to take this win. and that your season is still alive to go bowling, because there are still two, possibly three wins left on your schedule that are not guaranteed losses for you. So I think if you're Wake, you take this win, you're happy that you got that conference win, and you just gear up for the rest of the season. Yeah, I think that's all you can do. Like, you're happy right now that a miracle happened and that you can move forward.
Are you putting Wake Forest in a bowl game? The remaining schedule, again, out, because I'm sure you don't have it memorized, Nick, is Florida State at home next week. Yeah, Florida State. I'll do it for the listeners then. Florida State at Duke. NC State at home. At Notre Dame. At Syracuse. My answer is no. They're not going bowling. But I'm just curious what you think.
My answer is no. It's still no. But this does help their chances a lot. So the two wins that I could still see them get are NC State at home and on the road at Syracuse. As we know, State struggles a lot in Winston, and Syracuse has been struggling as of late pretty badly. So we'll see what happens. And those are two kind of like those mediocre starting to get to the bottom of the ACC when we talk about NC State and Syracuse. So we'll see. Yeah. But I think if you're Wake, you're happy and you'll take this win and you'll do whatever you can to keep this season alive.
No, I mean, you're at the end of the day, you're still in everything that you aspired to do is still in front of you. Right. So you cannot be upset about where you're sitting currently. So for that reason, I give them, you know, a ton of credit, because it's like, all right, at least, you know, at the end of the day, you're sitting pretty. So
But shout out to Sonny. I mean, third string quarterback than a minute ago.
Yeah. I mean, he played he didn't play well. Let's just be very clear.
Yeah.
But he did what he had to do to win the game. And
like
at ETSU, we're on our fourth string or fifth string quarterback now. I can't even keep track of how many we're actually on. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just want him to play to win the game, do enough to win the game for us. So, he did that.
Yeah. So. And I will probably see both Sonny and Cameron tomorrow. So I absolutely cannot wait to see them. And finally, I am so happy Clawson drew up a play for Cameron Hyde. I've been waiting for that kid to score a touchdown this year or get the ball. He does all the dirty work on the offense. Like, he's basically their fullback, does everything dirty for them. So I'm glad that he got the game-winning touchdown. So I can't wait to see him. If you ever meet Cameron, he is like this big old country boy from Tennessee and drives the big-ass 4Runner with a bunch of dirt all over it. Like, he's the man. I love that guy. So I can't wait to see the both of them tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, for Wake, at the end of the day, it's a well-deserved, like, it's the win you need. I mean, you're not – fortunately, things haven't been great for you all season, so having the opportunity to get that win that you so desperately kind of needed is, at the end of the day, all you can ask for.
Right.
So, big kudos to them for that. All right. We move on. We will – well, I guess the next game, which is crazy – my boys did it, Nick.
Micah, I am so, so happy for you. Like, so I called you, and you were in your press box, and I was with my brother. Like, my brother and I were watching this game downstairs in our basement, and he was like, wait. If you're calling Micah, put him on speaker, because I want to hear his reaction. I want to hear how excited he is. But you were in the press box and you were like, oh, I know what you're calling about. Don't worry. Like, I'll talk to you later about it. But, Micah, I am so happy. Your guys looked really, really good. Just give me your full reaction. You talked about this last Monday when we previewed this game. You said, I am taking Virginia to cover no matter what. Like, this is not like a trap spot for UNC, because they might be overlooking Virginia for Georgia Tech, and they're scared of Georgia Tech, let's be real. But you kind of hinted a little bit like, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if Virginia won this game. And they did. Like, it was like, were you able to watch it? Were you watching the game cast? Like, what was your reaction? Give us all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was game casting it. No doubt. That was the extent of what I was, you know, trying to accomplish from that standpoint. But, like, what I thought was amazing was, like, watching that game, I was blown away by, like, again, game cast wise. Virginia kind of dominated. Like, Nick, think about it. Virginia had a chance to take a touchdown lead, make it 21-14 before the half. They throw a pick. Or was it going to be 28? I don't know, whatever. But they threw a pick in the end zone. Then North Carolina kicks the field goal to end the half. So they're up 3 at the half. But North Carolina punches them right in the mouth right at the start of the second half. It makes it up a 10-point game. I'm like, okay, that's it, man. Like, this was fun. Thanks for playing, Virginia. Let's try to cover so I look like at least somewhat of a genius tomorrow, right? No. They bounced right back. They had a answer for everything that they pitched for them. And that's what that was what impressed me the most, was this team never stopped battling. Never stopped. Not once. And, I mean, that was just impressive, man. Absolutely impressive. You can't ask for much more if you're UVA from that standpoint. And, like, again, they just played well. So, I was just so happy for them because, you know, they were due for this. They really were. Like, they've been battling all year and have fallen short. Like, I mean, like my buddy Jay was texting me, like, him and I are both like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Like, it's happened so many times this year, right? It's like, okay, they're going to do it. They're going to get the win. They're going to pull it off. And they just hadn't finished it. They've done everything except finish. Well, when they're driving down, Nick, to make it a 10-point game with 3.5 minutes to go.
Oh, my God.
And Hollins fumbles out of the end zone. That's because I was watching on my phone at that point. I was walking my way up to the press box. I was like, that's it, dude. Like, here it is. And then North Carolina, you know, back-to-back big gainers in the air. And I'm like, yep. Son of a bitch. Here we go again.
Yeah.
And then the defense was a huge stop. Defense played incredible all game long. And then, again, the offense gets one first down. Obviously needed two to really ice the game, but got the one first down, which was huge. Make North Carolina at least take all the timeouts. And then the defense made a play. Dude, I don't know what my takeaway is from this, like who to give more credit to or discredit to, I guess. But Virginia dominated that North Carolina offensive line. Drake May was getting hit every time he threw the damn ball. The run game for North Carolina was not obviously MIA, but wasn't what we normally have seen from this team. Like, I didn't understand a lot of the Drake May slander. He had one or two throws that it was like, okay, yeah, you missed the dude, man. Like, you got to make that play, right? But for the most part, Drake May did his part when he had time to do his part. So, I mean, again, I'm just there was a tweet, I think it was Ralph Russo from the AP, who made me very happy because I was getting really angry, Nick. And again, don't get me wrong. I do think some of this was just North Carolina, like I said, not playing to their potential, right? Not playing their best football. But I was pissed. Beyond people that are like, ha, look at North Carolina, man. Typical choke job. And I'm like, Virginia went out and won this damn game. They were, like, you could tell during the bye week they got healthy, they game planned, and they said, why not us? Oh, they're the number 10 team in the country? So what? It's Chapel Hill. I mean, no disrespect to Chapel Hill, but it's not like it's the most hostile environment in college football. You know,
and
like
I saw pictures of that stadium. Very disappointing.
Dude, they didn't show up. Actually, let's do that real quick. North Carolina fans, any of you on Twitter that didn't go to the game that live nearby and don't have a legitimate excuse, and I don't mean like, oh, like it just, you know, didn't make sense because it's like, no. Shut up. Nick, you're an NC State fan. You want to know what Carter Finley would do if you were the number 10 team in the country? You'd be having to turn away students.
Yeah.
3 hours before kickoff.
Yeah.
And North Carolina, student section wasn't filled. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to, I don't pretend like I know their schedule. So I'm not going to say, oh, it wasn't fall break or was fall break or whatever for them. But they cannot use this excuse of, oh, it was fall break or, oh, it was this or, oh, it was that, because shut up. Like, genuinely, shut up. If you're a legitimate football program, you win that game. You did not win that game. Like, and the people didn't show up, man. Like, the fan base of North Carolina talks so much trash about how they're a football, like how good the football program is. Yada, yada, yada. They didn't even show up, man. Like, they didn't even show up.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you got to show up for your guys. This is, again, the number, like, I had multiple people there. The CFP campus tour was there. My buddy Jared, who's a really awesome sports photographer, gets some of the best, like, sunset and, like, crowd shots I've ever seen. Like, they were there, and, like, they're sending me pictures. I'm like, where the f*** is everybody?
No, yeah, I saw it. Wolfpack, and, like, the guy who runs Wolfpack Nation, he went to the game. And he was just like, Carter Finley would be packed right now,
and, like,
if we were top 10.
And I get that this is not, like, the rivalry that the old-timey folk talk about, right? Like, I still view Carolina as a rival, but, like, they're, like, for me, honestly, number three on the totem pole. Like, probably two, I guess, because Maryland's out of the Big Ten now, or out to the Big Ten now. But they weren't, like, a, oh, my gosh, like, that's my rival, you know? But holy crap, this is still a rivalry game. And you're the number 10 team in the country. Everything that they did, in my opinion, was an embarrassment. Embarrassment.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks for the ACC, Nick. Like, I am bummed because, like, I was looking forward to a North Carolina. Like, honestly, it was a bad day for the ACC from a brand. Like, this is how it works. You know, if someone plays somebody close, it's not because they're good. It's because, or, like, the, you know, the bottom of the conference is good. It's because, like, oh, you're just not good. Like, you know, every team at the top is overrated, which I disagree with. Again, that's the world we live in. But gosh dang, man, that was embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. All around by North Carolina as a show out. But, no, someone asked me, Nick, a buddy of mine that's not, like, a Virginia fan, like, are you guys going to a bowl game now? And I was like, no. Like, we're still 2-5. Relax.
Probably the best 2-5 team ever.
I mean, dude, I will say, like, I'm not trying to, again, to, like, to toot the horn of Virginia here, right? But if you really think about it, if you replace Maryland and JMU with, I'm just going to say, because I'm, Nick, I don't know if you know this, but I'm literally inside the stadium right now while I'm recording this. Like, I'm just walking around the concourse because nobody here. Like, if you replace JMU with Arkansas State and you replace, you know, Maryland with Indiana, I'm honestly taking the Hoos to be 4-3 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the opinion is so much different, right? Like, you think they're good. You think that they're, like, they're not back, obviously, but, like, you're not wondering about Virginia. Where obviously we clearly are in the spot where everyone is still wondering about Virginia. I mean, dude, this was crazy. This was absolutely crazy. Like, again, like, I said on the pod, like, I didn't call the upset. I'm gonna be the first one to say that. I wasn't like, oh, Virginia's gonna win. But, like, Nick, my favorite part is, like, my buddies, Hayden and Thomas, one of the ones fifth quarter CCU, and then just a buddy that who's actually at the Miami Clemson game today. You know, he was like, well, what do we take about Miami Clemson? And I said, they're like, what game's you most confident? I said, hammer Virginia on the spread. Like, I knew that we weren't gonna lose by 23.5. That was the only thing that I knew without a doubt was gonna happen. Like, we were gonna be competitive. I mean, dude, talk about just – I'm just proud, man. That's all I got. Like, I'm just – I'm so – like again, I have said time and time again, Tony's showing something. Tony out-coached Mac Brown today. And, like
– oh, no, he – yeah.
I am the type of person that is willing to look you dead in the eye and say, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not going to apologize from – because my opinions in the moment about Tony Elliott still stand. But at the end of the day – Tony Elliott answered the call. And you know what? I'm going to say this, and this I might regret saying this a couple weeks if Virginia finished the season 2-10. I think he should be back next year. Because this at least shows you that there is something competitive about this team. Like, these guys have not quit, and they have every reason to have quit. They have lost heartbreaker after heartbreaker. Like, am I picking Virginia to go on this magical run? Like, you know, next week is – I want to make sure my schedule is now not loading very – Georgia Tech's in 2 weeks, but I'm trying to remember – wow, well, now am I – there you go. Sorry. It's at my – we're at Miami next week. Like, am I picking Virginia to go win that game? Probably not, but it's winnable. Georgia Tech at home, winnable. Like, I mean, Nick, there is a thought in my head. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But there is a piece of my brain that is stupid enough to think that Virginia could be entering that Duke game at 4-6 with at least the chance, if they upset Duke, to be still alive for a bowl game for the and the Commonwealth Cup game. Which, if you would have told me that, you know, 2 weeks ago, I'd been like, hell yeah, sign me up. So, again, I'm just so happy, man. And, like, to North Carolina, I'm going to say something I think might be stupid, Nick, and you can tell me if it's dumb. I think North Carolina and Mac Brown need to have a conversation. And you might say, whoa, pause. Nick, he's not going to win anything at North Carolina while he's still, you know, able to coach. He's got a couple years left, tops, right? Like, he right. maybe has 3 years left in the tank, in my opinion. And that's not a shot at his health or anything, but, like, I mean, I would like to think that at his age, he would want to spend some time with his wife before, you know, because, again, life is short. It's very short, unfortunately. I mean, this is the most talented team he's had in a while. And maybe you can make the argument that maybe next year, but, like, Drake May's gone after this year. Right. Who's next? I mean, I get it. They have some good recruits. They got this. They got that. But who is actually next? And my answer, and you know the answer, is we don't know. And you're not getting it done with this Drake May team. I mean, Nick, I don't know if you saw. I'm sure you did. USC lost again tonight.
Yeah.
But at least Lincoln Riley's, you know, young and got plenty of time to hopefully turn that around. Mac's running out of time. Like,
and we know the problem with USC. It's that coordinator. So, correct. Like, get rid of the coordinator. Yeah. And, you know, USC's probably still undefeated.
Figure out the defense who, well, the Utah team with, like, a second-string quarterback who's barely scored all season dropped, what, 30-something on you? I mean, I think you're right. I think we know what the problem is there.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, Nick, I know we like to shit on North Carolina, especially you, because that's your big rival. But it does piss me off at how they continually waste what I think is such a special team and special talent in Drake May. Like, they're wasting it. They're just straight up wasting it. And that's frustrating as hell. But anyways, Nick, that's all I've got on this game. Are you ready to move on? Because we still got more important games to talk about.
I know, yeah. I just wanted to say, like, I've seen Virginia play in person, and I've watched a few of your games. And these players aren't slouches. They have fought every single game. They have played very tough competition all year. And it was like we started to see that it was going to like happen, that it was bound to happen. Virginia was going to pull off a win because their players don't quit. They've never shown any quit throughout this entire season. Now, have we seen Tony Elliott quit? Yeah, there's some been questionable second halves and fourth quarters.
Sorry,
where
Nick, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to mention this before I forget, before we move on, and I'll let you continue.
Yeah.
Tony Elliott earned my flipping respect today when he went for it on 4th and 3 in the first 5 minutes of the game at the North Carolina, like, 42-yard line. That right there told me that Tony Elliott realized, what the f*** do we have to lose? And guess what? The team gave him what he needed. A first down, a chance to win the game, everything that we want out of that program. That right there, again, doesn't change my, Tony Elliott's the future. Like, I'm not going that far. But Tony Elliott gained so much freaking respect for me because he finally just said, F it, we ball.
Yeah.
That right there set the tone for the whole game, and that is because Tony Elliott believed in his men. That made me so damn happy. Anyways, continue, Nick.
Yeah, and I was gonna say he is firmly like off the hot seat this season. Like this was a huge win on the road, and he showed that he outcoached, like you said earlier, he outcoached Mac Brown, and that was huge for Virginia to see that Tony Elliott was aggressive and that he was like, fuck it, like what do we have to lose? Like, we're 1-5. This is a rivalry game. Let's go out and let's just give it our all. Let's just freaking win this game.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. Your players aren't duds. They're not like these washed up, like, oh, some sorry 2.5-star recruit. Like, you guys are really good. You guys have talented players, and you just have come up short this season. I put out this tweet, Mike. I don't know if you've seen it, but I basically said, this is like the best 2-5 team ever. Like, if you look at Virginia's schedule and you see how close they've come into these games,
they are legit. Like, they're not like the trash players, the trash team everyone has been talking about all year. So, kudos to them. Big win. I'm excited to see what else they do this season and how aggressive Tony Elliott can be, because I think when they're aggressive, they look really good. And I put out this other tweet on the North Carolina side. And it just happens every year. Every year, we give them their flowers. We talk about Drake May being Heisman. We praise them. We think they're going to contend for the ACC championship game. And every single year, they have a stupid, stupid, stupid loss that they should not lose.
Yeah.
Like, I said this a while ago, Micah. I think I said it sometime last season. When North Carolina signed Mac Brown, right, back in what, 2018, I think it was, 2017. No, wait, 2019. I'm sorry. It was the year after I graduated. That's right. I said, this was maximum, a 10-year experiment, if all goes well, if Mac turns this around, if Mac gets them an ACC championship, barring all else, you know? And I don't know if UNC has the conversation with Mac Brown, and we might be overreacting because at the end of the day, it is just one game and they are 6-1 and everything is still ahead of them. But you cannot be losing. You're too far into the Mac Brown era to be losing these type of games when you're number 10 in the country. Like, you go back in Mac Brown's time there, since he's returned, his biggest win has been against Wake Forest at home, and you went 6-7 that year. That was your big win, was a Wake Forest team that ended up losing the ACC championship in 2021, where you should have been in 2021. You should have been in the ACC championship game. That was that has been Mac's biggest win in this era of, you know, Carolina football. So I'm not saying have the conversation now, because again, take a step back. It is one loss, but these types of losses you cannot have anymore.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to be better. You just do. And I mean, like, and kudos to Virginia, but if North Carolina plays their best football game, Nick, Virginia does not win this game. It's plain and simple. Like,
yeah.
As much as I want to be like, yeah, Virginia won this game because they did do everything in their power to win this game, if North Carolina plays 95% to 100% of their potential, they win this game. They played probably, what, 75-80? I think it's a very – like, it's like North Carolina really wasn't that bad. Like, it really – like, I don't like it because everyone's like, oh, North Carolina slept on Virginia. It's like Virginia just came out firing, which they've done before. The difference was, it's just – again, North Carolina was not fully into the game at the beginning of the game, so they got punched in the mouth. Like – they just didn't have enough body blows to give back, and Virginia said, fuck it, we're not going to quit. So, huge kudos to them. Super happy for the guys. But, yeah, I mean, North Carolina, your playoff hopes are probably done. Nick, did you know that Virginia is now joined or is now a part of an elite group of only Ohio State and Texas to have won a top 10 game on the road this season? So, I'm not saying rank the who's, but, I mean, rank the who's. So,
damn.
Well, yeah. Wild stuff. But let's move on.
Next up is North Carolina – or North Carolina, geez. Florida State and Duke. If Riley Leonard doesn't get hurt, Nick, what do you think happens?
If Riley Leonard doesn't get hurt, I can't really say. This game is a lot more competitive towards the end of the fourth quarter.
Duke was winning when he got hurt. They were driving,
yeah,
too.
Right. I know. They were driving.
Like there was a chance that they would have scored a touchdown and made it 27-17. And I mean this in all respect to Florida State. I don't think they come back in that game. I really don't. But then they get the big stop. Duke doesn't even score. And then Florida State goes down and scores right away. And then, honestly, the wheels just came off for Duke. Like, I'm not saying that – I'm not trying to take away from Florida State because they obviously jumped on Duke when they saw the window. But if Riley Leonard doesn't get hurt, I think Duke wins this football game.
What do you think about so they're driving. Riley gets hurt. They're in field goal range. What do you think about not taking the field goal? Do you think that changes any kind of momentum for
them? No. Because, honestly, and I mean this in all respects to Duke, a field goal is not going to win you the game there. And I know Elko, like we talked about on the preview, Nick, like we felt good that at the end of the day, if Duke's defense can carry them, right, you know, that Beilin does a good job of just being a game guy, right? Like he's literally not going to do anything for you that's super productive, but he doesn't really hurt you, right? Like, he's just going to kind of be the guy that gets the snap, hands the ball off, maybe dumps off a 3-4 yard gain, lets the receiver. Like he's literally the dip and dunk guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guarantee you they're like, okay, but like if we kick a field goal here, it's now 27-20. What does that actually mean for us in the long run? To which my response would be, great, Florida State scores a touchdown here, you're tied up, now you got to go down the field and score. We're like, wasn't it like 4th and 2 or something like that? 4th and 3? Something crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you trust your guy to make that play, which I like the move. Like, it's kind of the same. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it's kind of like the Oregon thing, you know, where everyone's like, make the play to win the game. So, I mean, a couple weeks or from last week, I mean, yeah, this was just, I had absolutely no problem with any of it. I really didn't. Like, I actually respected it.
My next question, and I think I know your answer. I think we're going to both disagree. What do you think about Elko not putting Leonard back in? Do you think he should have?
I think he may have made the right choice. Because Glass, like, okay, so Riley could have came back in the game, what, when it was 27-24, we think? Is that what we're kind of estimating? Or, excuse me, am I doing the math right in my head? I feel like I'm saying this all wrong. Excuse me, 24-20? I don't know why I said 20. I've been putting the wrong numbers. Like,
and like, that, there's no way he's coming – right when he gets hurt, there's no way he comes back right then and there.
Do we know that Riley was going to be Riley? Because, like – again, I mean this in no disrespect to Riley Leonard. He really didn't do a lot in this game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you realize, he was 7 of 16. He wasn't really that good.
Mm-hmm.
Himself, total yards, running and throwing, 82 yards. That's it. Like, Jaquez Moore was by far the best player on the field offensively for them. I mean, you look at the game tracker, right? Like, Duke scored a field goal off of basically a turnover, right? Was it a turnover? Yeah, on downs, which was really weird. Like, what did you think about that, Nick? Like, Florida State goes for it at their own 35-yard line on 4th and 1 early in the game. I mean, I respect it, but, like, it spotted Duke a field goal to make it 10-0. And then Duke scores off a pick six, right? It's 17-7.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a decent, probably their best drive of the game with 58 yards, or it's 20-17. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, they weren't doing a lot with Riley anyways. And a part of me genuinely believes that they're not winning that football game, even if Riley Leonard returns, from the standpoint of, like, I know I said, like, if Riley plays, do they win that football game? I said yes. But the more I've thought about it and marinated it, like, if Riley's 100% healthy, I do think Duke might win that football game, because he was probably due for one electric play, right?
Yeah, and I think that play was the drive that they were going to try and score.
Correct.
Where he so, got
like,
hurt.
And if he scores there, they go up 10 again. Like, with this Duke defense, I don't know if Florida State wins that game. That being right. said, he gets hurt. Florida State scores after the turnover on downs. He wasn't doing enough when he was, what, quote-unquote, healthy. He obviously was still in some pain. I'm just going to have to assume, right? Like, it wasn't like he just was back to normal, nothing, like, pretend like nothing happened, right? His ankle was clearly bothering him. Riley Leonard was not good enough through the air to justify putting him back out there. And not that I doubt Mike Elko knew what was going on in Chapel Hill. I doubt it. But did you know, Nick, that Duke still controls the whole freaking destiny right now?
Right.
Like, North Carolina is still on the schedule. Is Miami on the schedule for Duke? I don't think they are. But
I don't think so.
But Miami's probably going to lose to Florida State, so they're looking at a second loss anyways.
No, but Louisville is next for them, so.
Duke, you mean? Or?
Yeah, for Duke. Louisville.
No, yeah, I know. No, I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, what is the point in trotting Riley Leonard out there right now, knowing that he might not win you the game and might end up actually being hurt to the point where the season is over, right? Like, if he gets hurt any worse than he currently is, you've lost him for the year. With Louisville and Florida State, Louisville and North Carolina still on the docket.
Right.
I genuinely think that the other team going to Charlotte's going to have two ACC losses, Nick. They're just going to at this point. Like, that's what we're looking at. And in Duke's scenario, like, they are still, like, honestly, the ACC race is honestly even more fun now, because it's like, who is the second best team? Because Louisville's in the picture. Duke's in the picture. Obviously, North Carolina is still in the picture. Miami has kind of re-entered the chat, I guess you could say. Like,
again, the winner of that game was going to re-enter the chat. Yeah.
Correct. No, you're right. But even then, like, Clemson was at two losses. So, like, you know, if they would have lost the third one, like, they obviously did, but if they had won, then, like, not the two losses didn't make them enter the chat, but, like, obviously Duke had the tiebreaker on Clemson. So they never had to really worry about that.
True, true.
So, like, now you're trying to focus on trying to win one game. All you're trying to do is win one game. If you can do that, you're golden. You're absolutely golden. So, like, you got to take care of Louisville. You got to take care of Duke, like, or, geez, North Carolina. I don't hate it. I don't, like, and again, I don't know what the health level of these guys were. I really don't. Like, I don't want to pretend like I knew what they were dealing with and how it was going for them. So from that standpoint as well, like, I don't hate it. I trust, like, if there's one thing that I know, I trust Mike Elko to win football games for people and do what's best for his team. Like, I don't think Mike Elko's the type of guy that's going to make a piss poor decision for his team. So, but
yeah, I think in the moment I was like, oh my God, you got to put this kid back in. Like, this is your chance. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, if you play Louisville or Carolina down the road, like, you got Florida State kind of right where you want them. They're back on their heels a bit. Like, put him back in, go get this win. Let's see what happens. But I guess based on how the night turned out, you don't want Leonard to get hurt and not have him play next week, which is a huge game, and then correct. Carolina on the road later on. So this was a fun game, though. I really enjoyed watching this. I'm glad that I kind of nailed it. We're like, Duke – well, first of all, I never heard any news that I was genuinely shocked when I saw Leonard trotting out there and that he was going to be the starter. I didn't hear any news about him coming into this game. Starting, maybe you did, Micah.
What I knew was going to happen, Nick, was what we've seen the last week or two with him. I don't know if you realized this, Nick, or knew this, but, like, they trotted him out for warmups. He would go out there in his same stuff and toss the football around a little bit. His ankle would be spatted up a little bit, but it, like, he would literally be in cleats. Like, he'd be like, right. Oh, wow. Like, obviously, again, when they warm up in the pregame, they're wearing shorts. So, like, it wasn't like he was in full pads or anything, but they're like, okay, yeah, this guy is clearly, you know, here potentially going to play. And then, obviously, it was just a mirage to make you think he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything – like, I did not think – to answer your question, I did not think and or know that he was going to play. I think it was you or maybe Hayden. Someone texted me saying Riley Leonard's playing. I'm like, oh, that explains why it's 7-0 Duke.
Right.
So, yeah. Even though it really wasn't the main reason why it was 7-0 Duke, but like, same time, like, whatever. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but this was a fun game. And it sucks that Riley got hurt again because I think this game is a whole lot different. But yeah, I'm just glad that, like, you know, people didn't really give like Duke a whole lot in this one. And I'm glad that they just battled and just until the wheels kind of fell off and Riley went out.
Yeah.
Just kind of like solidified themselves as a top team in this conference.
Yeah. What made me the most sad was if you box score this game or just simply, you know, scroll through your ESPN scores app, you think Duke got their shit kicked.
Yeah,
and that
know.
Is not the
that's
case.
So annoying.
So, like, that is where, like, not that I don't feel bad for Duke for losing, because obviously it would have been nice to see them, you know, really, like, send a statement. But, like, that's where I feel the most bad for them is, like, you look at it, you're like, oh, they suck. It's like, that's not what happened here, you know? Like, they don't suck. They just literally had the wheels fall off. And, like, sometimes when you compete to try to win the game, you end up making the score look worse because the other team's going to take advantage of it. So, but yeah, this was a good game. And like, Nick, I'm going to be very frank. If Duke falls out of the top 25, I will be flipping pissed. I don't think they will because they were what, 14 or 15 or something?
16.
But like, I don't think that loss is justifiable, a 9-loss jump. But if they do fall out, I will riot.
Yeah, I will join you.
So, anyways, let's talk the last game. Clemson-Miami, 28-20 win in double overtime for the Canes. Hey, Dabo, shut up. Don't shit talk your fans and then trot out this bullshit. I'm not even a Clemson fan, and I'm pissed. This is embarrassing. You talk all this shit, right? Like, oh, our fans are just so spoiled. Like, you know, oh, we lose two games and we're so bad. Good teams don't lose three games in a row and you claim that you're a top program in this sport. Then act like it. You just lost three games in a row in ACC play to programs that, to be very frank, should not be better than you, minus maybe Florida State. Duke should not be better than you. Honestly, Miami should not be better than you. And this is the bullshit you trot out? Shut up. Shut up. I have supported you. I have defended you. I'm not calling for your job. But what I am saying is, shut up. Go back to just trying to win football games, Dabo. Because your team right now is kind of a joke. Like, Nick, I'm sorry, Clemson fans that are listening. I hope they miss a bowl game. Maybe that'll wake his ass up. They're not going to. They're 4-3, and the schedule is, like, definitely got some winnable games left on it. But, like, come on. Come on. What is this? This is pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Miami did not win this game. I didn't think Miami's – I mean, Tyler Van Dyke didn't even play.
No.
You lost to a Tyler Van Dyke-less quarterback team. Are you kidding me? And, like, my buddy's like, Miami's got a good atmosphere. It was still only 60% full.
Tickets were $11.
Yeah, I know.
I just spent $185 for the state UNC game. I mean, that's with taxes and fees. That's with taxes and fees.
The cheapest ticket to get into the Arkansas State and Coastal Carolina game today was $20.
Oh my God.
Like, what are we doing? Like, Nick, honestly, this game meant absolutely nothing to me. You want to know why I'm saying that? You might be like, what do you mean it means absolutely nothing to you? I don't walk away with this game going anything positive from either team. Actually, I will give one positive thing to Miami. You won a football game without Tyler Van Dyke against a talented team. Clemson did not play good, but they are still a talented Clemson.
Yeah.
Gosh damn, man. Come on. Come on. This, like, yeah. This is just pathetic. It really is. Like, Clemson still got North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
I hope North Carolina beats them. Clemson still got NC State, right?
Next week.
Yeah, I hope NC State beats them. Like, I'm done.
I'm
done defending this team, this program, and Dabo. I'm done. You don't lose, like, Nick, you want to know who loses three straight games in ACC play? The University of Virginia. Last I checked, Clemson is not the University of Virginia. I mean, as a University of Virginia fan, I would love to have that run that Clemson had. So if they want to gift it to me, I'll take it. But come on. What are we doing? Seriously, what are we doing? I'm appalled for them. I'm absolutely appalled. Like, because it is one thing. Like, you know, I after Dabo's comments on Tuesday, Nick, I generally was like, oh, I'm hammering the shit out of Clemson now. Because, like, when we see pissed off Dabo, they normally come out and play. If you're going to talk that much crap to your fan base, you better back it up. And you sure as heck did not back it up today. Mm-hmm. That was just – that was – dude, I mean, Clemson fans, I'm sorry. Like, I'm actually sorry for you. Like, as a fan of a 2-5 team, should I be apologizing for a fan base that's, like, on suicide watch because they're 4-3? Probably not. But I get it, man. When you sign up to be a fan of a program like Clemson, you expect better than this. You do. And you're not getting it. So,
yeah.
I mean, this was just straight up disappointing. And honestly, Dabo, you do this crap again next year, you might not have a job. If Clemson's as legit of a, you know, wants to be a playoff team as they say they want to be.
Yeah, this is a very bad low point. Like, this is the lowest of the low. I put it out on Twitter on our page. This is the first 3 conference loss Clemson teams since 2010, and they went 6-7 that year.
And there are still games on the schedule that they might, like, this could potentially be a 5 loss Clemson team in the ACC.
Yeah, I know.
That is insane.
Yeah, it is. Like, this is very, very low for Clemson. And I will give Miami some credit. This kind of helped me realize that, like, okay, Miami, you had the bad loss against Georgia Tech, which you should have won. You kind of let Carolina rattle you around up in Chapel Hill. But if you're anything different, you would come out at your own home field and be a struggling Clemson team that once ruled this conference. And you did. And you went toe for toe with them. So I will give Miami a little credit. Do I think Miami's, like, turned it around this season? Absolutely not. Because I think Clemson is, again, at a very low point. But I will give Miami a little bit of credit for not giving up on the season, not keeling over like we usually see with other Miami teams from the past. So it's just so disappointing for Clemson. I mean, you ran DJ out of town, and now he's lighting it up at Oregon State, having a much better season than Clemson is. Nothing offensively has looked really that all pretty. And, you know, I was getting ready to say, like, wow, Clemson, everyone's kind of like, you know, sleeping on Clemson a little bit. They're about to be 5-2, 3-2 in conference. They're not out of the ACC just yet. Like, they're still receiving votes in the top 25. Like, everyone's sleeping on them just because they lost early. Well, I guess I was wrong in thinking that too early, because nothing is seems to be going according to plan, and there's no way. I would be shocked if, like, I don't know, they finish off this season at 6-6 or 7-5 or something, and they claim to be a national title contender next year, because they're just kind of far, very far away from that right now. Like, Florida State has surpassed you. Carolina's nipping at your heels. Cristobal's redoing. Ha ha ha! I didn't realize I did.
I know. That's why I actually did that cringy laugh, because, like, he definitely does not realize what he just said.
I did not realize what I just said. Cristobal is redoing things in Miami. You know, Clawson has been very close to beating you the last 2 years. You lost to Duke this year. Teams are catching up to you, and you have yet to adapt. And this is a big offseason for Dabo next year. So,
yeah, like, Nick, we are currently, it is obviously now Sunday, October 22nd. And we are discussing next year for Clemson.
I know.
And, like, not even like, oh, like, next year for the playoff. We're talking about next year for the ACC. We're talking about next year for, like, Nick, right now the Sun Bowl might be their best option. I mean, again, as a Virginia fan, like, the Sun Bowl gets me a little hot and bothered. But if you're a Clemson fan, that does not get you hot and bothered. I mean, dude, but again, Miami, you didn't play great. Your defense was fantastic. And you know what? You won a game without Tyler Van Dyke. So that alone is a tip of the hat. Kudos to you.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's it for me. I mean, that's all I got, Nick. Anything else you want to add on that?
No, man. I think Miami did a good job, and nothing more to it. They are not like the old Miami of just killing over when times get tough. They battled and they show perseverance. So that's about it.
You're right. You know what Miami they are? They're back. That's the Miami they are.
Right. Yeah.
But no, Nick. That's it, Nick. I'm going to let you get to bed. I mean, I'm going to probably get to bed here soon because I got 8 hours of driving tomorrow, but you've got work tomorrow. So anyways, Nick, I'm glad we were able to hop on now, kind of banging this out. This was convenient for me. So thank you. It'll be out too early. I'm going to literally, Nick, edit it and be out hopefully in 30 minutes. So that way in the morning you can just tweet it out. Maybe it'll be one of the first EC podcasts out for this. But, I mean – this was the best weekend in ACC football we've had.
This was a very fun ACC football week.
This was the best weekend we've had. Like, yeah. I don't think it's even up for debate. Like, every game was amazing. Think about it. Every game came down to the wire. We had a walk-off at a homecoming game for Wake Forest. Basically a walk-off, right? We had a legitimate walk-off with the defensive stop for Miami. We had Duke and Florida State in a barn burner battle for three quarters. And again, depending on the outcome of an injury, that game might go down to overtime. And then we've got the number 10 team in the country getting upset by their rival who hadn't won an FBS game all season. In dramatic fashion, they came down to an interception with 30 seconds to go.
Yeah.
This was the best week of the ACC season we've had all year. And you and I didn't sleep on it as in like, oh, it's the worst. But we definitely were – we definitely were not high on this week. So
no, we weren't.
Kudos to these programs. I'm happy for them. I am. I think that's all I've got. And to summarize, how it just means less, go to our social media. Nick quote tweeted it, where Tony Elliott's upset win post-game interview is interrupted by a commercial for a CW show. Or maybe it was even transitioning just over to the CW show. I don't even really know.
Yeah, it transitioned. I think it transitioned right to Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah. So if that tells you how little it means in ACC country, then I don't know what could summarize it better. But I love this conference. I love this sport. And this was a fun, fun day, Nick. And I'm glad we got to talk about it. And we'll be back on Monday to preview what's going to have to try to live up to the hype of week 9, because week 8 was a burner. Yeah. So, as always, Nick, it just means a little bit less here in ACC country.
And go ACC. Oh, and Nick, we went 69 minutes. Very nice.
Nice.